Hey, yo, Tara Mahadevan.
What's good, Kevin?
We're live and direct right now.
We are.
Yeah.
Mini Mart.
So this is the Mini Mart. This is a version of a podcast we do every week on WGN Radio called The Corner Store. But this is the micro version we call
The Mini Mart.
The Mini Mart. True indeed. Mm. Tara, part of what we're trying to do, of course, in this forum is introduce Chicago to some of the vanguards of new culture in this city. Put on for people who make stuff here, people who create here, people who stay here, people who make the city better,
here.
Who've come here.
Like me.
Who've journeyed here, yes. Like yourself. You, of course, are, but Midwest is in a building. We stay deep.
True.
Very Facts. Thick in the heartland. Tara Mahadevan is one of the premier hip-hop journalists in the nation. These are facts, and my name is Kevin Koval. We are your co-hosts, and we're going to, this evening, introduce you to incredible artists throughout the city. And our first guest in the building is someone who you can hear in a full hour conversation this Tuesday on our podcast called The Corner Store on WGN Radio.
Plus.
You can download it anywhere podcasts are downloadable.
But preferably iTunes.
Yeah.
And also WGNRadio.com.
Yeah. And you should consider rating
and
giving
and
us those 5 stars. SoundCloud,
yes.
Right? And the Corner Store on all the...
_pod on Instagram
on social
and Twitter.
Yeah. And tonight we have our first guest in the building is an incredible visual artist, someone whose work you can see in large scale throughout the city and really throughout the world. Born and bred right here in the city of Chicago, South Side,
yes,
made. Sam Kirk is in the Mini Mart. Sam, hello.
Hey.
How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Good to talk to you again.
Good talking to you again.
Thank you for being here. You know, we always welcome our guests in the Corner Store with some snacks, and it does not stop in the Mini Mart. First of all, we are, you know, sponsored, of course, not only by WGN Radio, but also by Stolen Spirits.
Rolling on Stolen.
And we are on some incredible smoked rum this evening, but also we've shared some snacks with you, right?
Yeah, we had some Swedish fish, some Arizona tea.
Yeah.
Brought it back a little bit.
Do we give her more snacks?
Do you want anything else? Do you want some fruit snacks?
I'm good right now.
Okay, good.
Okay, jinx.
All right, so Sam, you know, so there's a few things, you know, we want to let folks know about. You know, first of all, you just made and collaborated on an incredible and giant mural that the city of Chicago can bear witness to. Tell us a little about what the project is and where it is.
Yeah, the latest mural that I just wrapped up with fellow artists Sandra Antongiorgi and Andy Belomo is called The Love I Vibrate. It's in Chicago's Boys Town neighborhood. It's on Halsted and Melrose on the side of Howard Brown. And this piece... We created this mostly to spark conversation around the many layers of queer identity and then also to honor our non-binary community members. The piece itself features a fellow artist and healer named Kiam, and we felt like they were important to feature for the amazing work they're doing in the community and then also to create a much-needed visibility for more people of color within our community.
Yeah, and why part of the reason why that's important, particularly in that neighborhood, if you had to say, would be why?
Well, because, I mean, one, as we know, Chicago is very segregated.
Segregated.
Yes.
Chicago, let's do better.
But the most diverse, but the most segregated, right?
Yeah, these are facts.
Right, so this issue runs throughout our city, but in Boys Town in particular, there's not much visibility for people of color. Often we see, you know, with a lot of the print ads or postings, it's mostly white male visibility within the neighborhood. So we really felt like we needed to make more space and make more visibility for people of color while also, you know, creating work that sparks conversation around identity and many different conversations that are happening.
So what's some of the conversation you hope to have sparked by this mural?
Well, the biggest is identity, fluidity, non-gender, you know, these are terms that a lot of older people, not only within the LGBTQ community, but also outside of our community, that are a little bit confusing. So we're hoping that this piece, when they see it, Kiam, will make them curious and will, you know, make them ask more questions. We're hoping that they'll be curious about the space that it's on. Howard Brown is a clinic within the community that does a lot of amazing work for us. And I think people don't really understand, you know, some of the struggles that we go through, some of the different issues that we have to take on, and it's a perfect space for them to learn more about that.
And you revealed it on Saturday?
We revealed it on Saturday. We've been working on it for the past 5 weeks.
Wow. Yeah. Have you already had people react to it or gotten feedback?
Yeah, we've had so much great feedback. One of the best parts of it was during the unveiling, a woman came out with her transgender daughter, and she was, you know, just completely emotional and very grateful to have something like this. And I can relate to that. You know, growing up here, I didn't have a whole lot of resources or a whole lot of things to look to as a young queer woman. So having, even to this day, there's not enough of it. So having something like that for her child to see and to see a reflection of herself in, even though Kiam identifies as non-binary and there's that difference, you know, this is the way another that layer. Conversation gets started. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even, I mean, maybe, you know, because I think we have folks listening who might not even be familiar with the phrase non-binary.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would you be able to help us and our listeners understand a little of what that might mean?
Yeah. So non-binary is really not identifying with any gender. You know, it's being fluid and not necessarily, you know, wanting to go, you know, one way or the other.
And that's really beautiful, though, because, you know, like you said, when you were younger, you didn't have those kind of role models. But, you know, you're, you know, showing younger people, you know, you can do these things and you know, not fit in the norm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We have a one of our favorite out of Chicago guests that we've had on the Corner Store, although the episode has not dropped, is the poet Safia Ilhilo, and she says that gender is a galaxy. Mm-hmm. You know, and we live in this moment now, I think, where some of this is coming to the forefront. The way people have been living for so long, some of that fluidity in the, you know, kind of non-dual space of gender identity, people are beginning to live, you know, without the fear, without the need to apologize, just being able to be themselves. And I think murals like this and the work you've consistently done in your career is in part enabled, emboldened people to be able to live as such.
I hope so. I mean, I definitely hope so. And I think it's also an important conversation between the younger generation and the older generation. I know even for myself, I had a lot of learning to do as a lot of these terms and different definitions started to come about. When I was growing up, you were lesbian or you were gay.
Right. Queer wasn't a word.
Or you were bisexual, right?
Like, you know, that, yeah.
So even for me, it was education that I had to do, and I'm still continuing to do, you know. I really appreciate our younger generation because they push us to have those conversations, and they are a lot more open to expressing themselves, and I think it's, you know, it's great.
So, Sam, where can people find you, first of all, on the internets? And then I want to talk a little about, you know, the residency that you've just begun in Chicago on the Near South Side.
So people can find me under I Am Sam Kirk. Pretty much everywhere, whether there's a .com after it or on social media.
Don't matter. Just get at her.
Yeah.
But you really just began this residency program. Tell us a little about that, where it is and what kind of work you might be engaged in.
Yeah, just started this residency program. It's been about a week or so. It's at the Chicago Art Department. It's an 8-month residency, and this residency will focus on gender visibility, which is kind of perfect. there's 10 different spots open, and I happened to get the gender visibility spot.
Oh, wow.
Which is great, not only for the work that I've been doing, but the work that I've been wanting to do. I'm most excited because over the last couple of years, I've been doing a lot of murals. And this will really give me a chance to create some new work in the studio and some of the ideas that I want to flesh out through art.
And what are some of those ideas that you look forward to kind of working on specifically in the studio?
Well, one of the things that I've been really working on is the intersection of culture and identity, and how a lot of traditional culture plays a role in either limiting us in how soon we get to figuring out our identity. And that just comes from growing up in partial Latin household, understanding the restrictions and everything, and then also religion playing a role as well. So I'll be talking about some of those intersections.
Well, that's really exciting. And people could actually come see you in the studio?
Yes. Every second Friday, we'll have something going on. I'll show some new work, but people are more than welcome to come by the studio and take a look at what's in process. It's going to take me a while to get a lot of this work done because it involves some layers of glass and different mediums that I haven't really shown too much of. So they'll be able to come by and check out some of the process.
Yeah, I'm excited for that kind of growth in your work, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. And, of course, people can see your work in the public for the free all over the city.
All over the city.
Up north, down south.
Downtown.
Downtown, west. Right. Yeah, downtown, what, right east. off State and Lake, right?
Right across
the alley.
Chicago Theater.
Yes.
13th and Michigan.
Which is a great mural. Yeah, okay. Great. And of course, you've been doing great work in the city for so long. We're so appreciative. Again, one more time, where can people find you on the internet?
I am Sam Kirk.
Yeah, no doubt you are. And thank you so much for being in this first edition of the Mini Mart. We rock with you heavy. And we're going to kick to commercial right now. Those are facts. Tarma Hadavin.
Do it on the floor.
We are back in the Mini Mart. Are you enjoying yourself?
I am enjoying myself.
This is pretty fun.
First time I've been on the radio in a very long time.
But I mean, you have an illustrious career,
Listen.
You know, influencing the media.
gas me too much.
So we do this, of course, long form podcast on the regular on WGN Radio, but on socials and everything. How can people be in tune with what it is we're doing?
Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, Cornerstore_Pod. You can find us WGNRadio.com and iTunes and wherever you
subscribe to podcasts. Yeah, and please subscribe. The long form conversations are fascinating. We are very excited about this format.
Yes, the Mini Mart.
The Mini Mart is in effect, and we have a brand new guest.
Yes.
Who's graced us.
I'm really excited about this.
I know. I feel like this is a big gift.
When
for
I hit
us.
Her on I slid in her DMs on Instagram.
I know. You were nervous. Like, she wasn't going to respond.
No, I already knew her. What?
Okay.
We already worked together.
I personally was nervous. You know, so
you
this
should
is,
be.
Look, so this
she's
is someone star. Who, you know, she's a creative designer, an animator, a studio artist, a muralist,
cartoonist,
south yes. side of Chicago in the building, an incredible yes. and just wildly weird cartoon just premiered on the Cartoon Network. This is
Adult Swim.
Yeah. It's called The Unwonderful World. We are here with the hand and the creator of that brilliant cartoon.
Mia Lee
is in the building.
Hi.
Yeah, welcome to the God. Mini Mart.
What an intro!
Kevin's real smooth with natural. Them. Real nice.
Why he's so smooth?
First of all,
you got some radio voice though.
Oh, I know. She in it. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We've offered you some stolen rum.
Yes, I am loving.
You're okay. You're rocking with it.
Smoked rum.
Yeah, the smoked rum. Also, are you snacked up? Do we've given you some fruit snacks?
I have demolished a bag of Funyuns.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Oh, good.
All right. Good. All right. So
I
we have
cut off
our corner store ethics remain intact.
Right.
Yeah. Shout out to Funyuns. I really appreciate it.
If you want any more snacks,
let us know. But look. So let's just hop in to the unwonderful world. This is we've only been privy to the trailers, you know, these like 1 minute 30 second jump offs, but this cartoon is wonderfully odd.
It's like demonically cute.
Dystopic kind of
like
surreal
devilishly
underworld of fairy tale,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
What is this? What can people see?
So Unwonderful World is about a girl named Mia. I named it after myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so
artists
a girl named Mia who runs this flower shop in this crazy, like, dismal, odd world with a bunch of odd characters, different run-ins with different people, and it's just basically about living your adolescent life and running, you know, trying to be an artist and, you know, being in this odd space or odd things. You know, you never know what's happening around you, and, you know, you never know what's going to happen. So it feels very, like, realistic, but it's in cartoon form.
It reminds me of the episode of South Park, the Christmas episode, where all the
Mr. Hanky.
But, like, all the animals are in the forest, and they're all, like, bloody or whatever.
Yeah, like, there's always, there's a lot of, so basically, the inspiration that came from this cartoon was that, I'm from the South Side. Thank you.
You're from Chatham?
I'm from Chatham.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, growing up, I, like, never knew a lot of creative people, not a lot of people that were artists and stuff like that. So in school, like, I'd be like that little girl, like, drawing on her notebooks and stuff like that. People think it's weird, you know.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Dixon. It's on 83rd and St. Lawrence. So I he was always like into drawing and stuff like that, and I always felt like, even though like I'm in this space, I'm in my own world. So basically that's why I named the main character after me, because I want to feel like connected. I want to, basically the stories that I'm going to tell are things that I've been through, but they're in very exaggerated stories of things, you know, like, you know, I don't want to put any real names, real places, but I just want to make them exaggerated, because you can do anything in animation world.
And you storyboard and also illustrate.
I do
everything. You do everything. Mm.
Okay. Literally everything.
And I feel like I saw you tweet, you like, you wanted footwork music.
I did. I got a lot of DMs. Yeah. Thank you for everyone who sent me a DM.
Does Chicago, I mean, thematically or in the narrative, how does Chicago enter?
Everything that I structure the world, because, you know, it's basically, I can do whatever I want. And like, I only do things that I know. So the world is structured off of areas of Chicago. Like, it's in the city. I named the Wonderful is the city. So it's based off of things that I find weird and things that I love about the city of Chicago. So there'll be a lot of things that seem familiar to you. So, because I want to add like the footwork and music in, so that'll feel a lot familiar. Like, a lot of people from the outside looking in are not really going to understand, but we'll know, you know.
Yeah. Now, where can people see this cartoon?
You can see it now on YouTube. So on my YouTube channel, I'm trying to build my subscriber.
Yeah, no, let them know. Yeah,
so
please
go to YouTube and subscribe to Unwonderful World. And you can find Unwonderful World on Instagram. You can find it through me. I'm like, really.
What's your Instagram handle?
Hot Fun Mia.
I know. I definitely DM'd you. I was like, hey, Hot Fun Mia. Yeah,
I love it. If I was a stripper, that would be my stripper name.
Well, yes. Listen, I mean, I thought it was like your pet name and your.
It's like a bunch of like your street name.
And like,
I moved to New York last
year. Glad you're back, by the way. Now you live in Chicago again.
Yeah, and I'm back. Yeah, I'm back, baby. I'm never leaving
that's
again.
That's right.
Okay. But why did you leave?
I was working this corporate job. I wasn't happy. I was driving to the burbs. Like, 3 hours of my life was spent on driving.
In New York?
In Chicago. Oh, okay. So I was driving out to the burbs to work, and I was just unhappy. And I randomly went to New York one time, and I just fell in love with everything. Like, everyone is just free to do whatever they want to do. Like, they can be a butterfly and right. like and
that's
just
acceptable.
Thrive,
that's an acceptable,
you know?
Form of behavior.
Yeah.
In
and just live, you know. So I was in love with what they were doing, and I decided to just pick up everything and go. And I just wanted to like build up, you know, some experience out there. I end up getting a lot of freelance work. I was doing some Nike stuff. I was working for the Fader, so that was amazing. Shout out to Fader. They were so good to me there.
Those are Tars people too.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I've written for them.
Yeah.
So.
But what brought you back?
Yeah.
I was homesick. Like, the things that I missed about Chicago, I really missed. And like,
how long were you gone?
I was gone for like almost 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just like a feeling. Like, there's not even really like a whole explanation to why I came back. It was just a feeling. Like, I just felt it was right for me to come back home. I just saw little things that just led me back here. And ever since I've been back, like, I've been more focused on this cartoon. I like my external hard drive with my original cartoon. Mind you, this is the third time that I have to start over with this cartoon, and I've not given up. Yeah, wow. My external hard drive gave up on me, like, technology, right?
Yeah.
Like, it just, I don't know what happened, but some freak accident just, all my stuff just went away.
Yeah.
So I had to start over then. And then I went to Atlanta and partied too hard and lost my other junk.
You know, that happens.
Yeah. Listen,
you know, went to Magic City?
Yeah, wow. Somewhere in some strip club.
Stripping.
Yeah, it's just sitting there on the dance floor.
How did you get connected with Adult Swim to get it premiered?
So they have a show. It's a stream online that they take pitches from people. They call in, and you have whatever time that they give you to pitch to them. And I thought, like, maybe I can just shoot my shot and they would, you know, be receptive to it, or they may tell me it's trash. I don't know. But I just figured, like, I worked so hard. Like, someone's got to see this, you know? So
yeah,
I
third
just,
time's a charm. Right?
Yeah.
So you just went for it.
Yeah, I just called in. I ended up being the first caller and, like, they picked up right away and I'm like, whoa. Like, it just threw me so off guard and, like, they loved it. They, like, really, really loved it.
That's
and,
so cool.
And then somebody hit me up from their studios and was like, yeah, we're going to air this, what they stream, we're going to air it. I was like, no.
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. That's so cool.
And like, so it, I just admire Adult Swim. I just can't believe it.
Is it episodes or how can people, I mean, is that, do you have, like, a multiple, like, you know, episode deal or is it a one time, is it a one off?
Well, that's still being worked out because I'm personally still developing the cartoon. Like, I don't want it to be like, you know, I want it to be to reach its full potential. So I'm going to make sure, like, I put in all the work I need to make this great before we come back to the table and talk, you know, more. But I want it to be, you know, 100. Yeah. So, you can still see it in the meantime on, you know, YouTube and Instagram and stuff like that, but it's not going anywhere. Like, I'm going to just make it better.
And again, where could people find you on the internet?
You can find me personally on at Hot Fun Mia.
Spell it for people, please.
H-O-T, Hot Fun, F-U-N, Mia, M-I-A.
Word.
Yes, and the regular spellings.
Mia, yo, thank you so much for being in
so
the mini
much.
Mart. Yeah,
thank
we're excited
so
for
much.
You and excited to watch
oh my gosh.
Your cartoons now and in the future. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yo, Tara, you know what I realized, man? You know, we are station mates with Tom Skilling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know. You don't know who that is, but like that, yo, that is the weather dude holds it down for the city. He's
how long
like,
you been on there for?
A thousand years. He's like the top five
wow,
Chicagoans
I think
on the planet.
That might have been offensive.
Okay, that's fair. Tara, we have one of your brethren in the
yes,
building. You
my
know what
favorite.
I mean? So I want to say so. Our podcast is not only about Chicago, although we're Chicago centered.
Yes,
but we really have an eye to the planet, and I think particularly given our status, we put on for the Midwest in the building.
And I really, you know, I'm interested in connecting those cities further and using the podcast as a platform for that. So
facts, and particularly what cities?
St. Louis, Detroit.
Why is
you know,
that?
Chicago.
Yeah,
well, St. Louis.
That? Because
that's where I'm from.
Right.
That's the crib.
Right. So we have one of your brethren in the building who just moved to our crib.
Like 2 weeks ago.
I know. Right, right. Incredible hip hop artist, MC, rapper. I over the last, you know, few days, I've been getting acquainted with his music.
I put him on my under 1K.
Yeah. Yeah, which is a good
most
look.
Definitely.
So first of all, welcome to Chicago. We have in the building in the mini mart at WGN Radio tonight, we have J-Hop.
I appreciate it. How's everybody doing,
man? Thanks so much for coming, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Pleasure. Honored for you to be here. Are you snacked up? Did we get you
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Trust
and
me.
You're off the stolen?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. So
I know we
had
some
sponsor.
Issues this morning.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's okay. We don't talk about it.
So, you know, first and foremost, man, welcome. And what caused you to make the move up to Chicago?
Most of my team, like, I met, like, most of my team, like, when I went to school with them at Mizzou. And so, like, my boy Charles lost. And it was kind of one of those type of things where, like, everyone was trying to get me to move up here for a minute just to... You know, it's just always easier with that person-to-person connection rather than just sending beats through emails and raps and stuff like that. So it's been something that's been in the works for a minute. So just wanted to get closer to the team and different things like that.
Yeah,
sure.
When you pulled up with Shy, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's
like, everyone
boy.
Know everyone, but like, okay, you come from St. Louis knowing everyone.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Linked. You know what I mean? And the network is real.
Squatted. Yes.
So I guess, you know, let's go back a little bit. I mean, how long have you been rhyming for?
Since I was like 17, so like not super long, but still, you know, long enough to be comfortable with but I've been a part of the culture obviously since, you know, so little kid, so getting jumped in wasn't really too difficult for me. So
some of your first hip-hop memories?
Man, let me think. I remember my cousin, he was a local DJ, and I remember like I was real big, obviously, like, you know, you listen to Fresh Prince, you know, Will Smith and different things like that. Nobody, you can't fake it. Everybody was listening to
everybody.
Everybody was listening.
Everybody on the planet, actually.
So then, like, my cousin was like, hey, bro, like, that stuff. He was like in that underground hip hop wave. He was like, bro, that's Will Smith, cool, bro, but that's not it, bro. Like, get jiggy with
Wait,
it.
What
like,
he say?
He was like, bro, like, you got to start listening to Outkast. You got to start listening to Nas. And then you just
salutes.
Yeah,
to him.
Yeah, yeah. And then when you heard Wu-Tang, it's like, you know, it's once it starts, it's like you're in it. So yeah. I was like, instantly became it just became intense. Like, and then I knew like right around probably like 15, 16, I wrote like my first verse. Cause it's just like everybody's written a verse, and I was like, man, it's trash. I'm not gonna do it. Then I won like a poetry contest like my junior year, and my English teacher, shout out Dr. Moran, she was the one that said like, you should look into doing something in the arts, and that kind of like got me started right there. So
what high school in St. Louis?
SLU High School. Shout out to SLU High.
Oh, true.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not gonna tell you where I went. Just kidding.
And then so at that point at 17, then what was the for you, what was the turning point for you to go into the arts fully?
I say the turning point was just, you know, you hop in cyphers with your friends and stuff, and you know, everybody kind of like, you can rhyme and stuff like that, but when people really started to be like, hold up, he's been rapping for 15 minutes straight off the top, like, bro, like, start taking it seriously. And like, so
wait, that's you seeing somebody else do that?
No, I was doing
that.
That's
him.
Yeah, okay. So like we were rapping like the lunch table and stuff like that, and it got like, bro, you've been rapping for 15 minutes straight, like, let somebody else hop in. Like, but then he pulled me to the side like, bro, you got something here, like, look into it for real.
What was your like first venture into the St. Louis rap scene?
I really got into the St. Louis rap scene, I say, when I got back from Mizzou, when I graduated from Mizzou, because
when was that?
I graduated in 2017, but I was back home in 2016. I finished my last semester online. So
oh, okay.
I wanted to get back.
What'd you major in?
Business, finance. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Gotta learn how to handle your money.
Right. Facts. Some backup options.
And facts.
Yeah.
And even if you do get it, you still gotta learn how to handle your money.
Yeah, be your own business manager.
That's right.
Facts.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was just one of the things. And linking up with Shy and FemDot and, you know, Hanna.
Yo,
Band.
You and Fem on a record would be hot.
Yeah,
we have
happening?
Records. Okay. Yeah. Oh, we have records.
Can you just release them, please?
I have one out. I can't say the name of it because it's an expletive name. But
yes,
if you,
but
it's super.
Well,
it's,
to that point, where can people find you and your music on the Interconnected Network?
SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Music, J-HOP. That's J with a hyphen, H-O-P.
Okay, bet.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Tara, maybe you could help me with this, but what is it about St. Louis, from Nelly to Smino to you? Like, what makes St. Louis such a lyrically, melodically driven city to put on so heavy for the culture in the middle of the map? Like, what do you attribute that to? Is it Chuck Berry? Like, what's the
deal? I think St. Louis is always been like, it's like a southern Midwest state.
Yeah. It's also like a confluence of things, you know?
Mm-hmm. So like, you know, you hear the Nellies and different things like that. That becomes part of your DNA. You know, when you hear like the rappers like Nelly and you know, just different people that had like the melodic sound. Like Atlanta was super melodic. So when you hear Outkast and different things like that, the southern draw they had to their voices and different things like that, it kind of resonated with us in St. Louis. And especially with us not, you know, a lot of people think St. Louis sound doesn't have like an identity. So it made us fearless to jumping into different sounds. And that's why we have such a wide range of sound. Really, most I feel like the Midwest does in general, though, because we take so much from everything.
There's
else.
No regionality here in terms of sound.
Facts.
Yeah. But there is, I think there is a location in the blues. There is I think that, you know, Nelly in St. Louis, Chicago and Twista or Psychodrama, Crucial Conflict, they are incorporating a kind of like, you know, southern to north great migration blues traveling sound and melody that is maintained in the music,
right?
Which I find fascinating. You know, so all right, so you're in Chicago, what are some of the things that you are working on currently
right now? I've been in the studio like every day with my brother Shy, like all of us have. He does this thing like every year, every other year, where we all collab as a team. We was called like Get Rich With Your Friends. That's basically like me, Shy, Fem, Ohana Bam, you know,
true.
People like that. So that's gang. So like, you know, we all like, you know, everyone has their own ventures. Then we come together and work on making projects and stuff together. But so I'm working on that tirelessly with Shy. And then I got my project I'm working on. It's called the Young Hopper EP. It's going to come out probably latter part of this year. but really just locking in on that and, you know, getting to it.
We're in the latter part of this year, so yeah. Hope it's soon.
Yeah, no, it's super. It's coming. It's coming.
I'm excited. Okay.
Well, yeah. we're excited for it. We would love to have you back on the corner store for, you know, especially once it drops. This is the EP or it's an LP, it's a record.
Yeah,
it's
EP. Okay. EP right now.
Now, I don't know if you have a 16 that's clean.
Yeah, you want to spit something,
you know, off
real?
The top. I don't know. You know, not to put you on the spot, but to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I probably could rap a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Light work.
Yeah. Young boy, see the goal is simple. Gotta own, don't play with rentals. And I don't write with pencils, cause I don't mess with pencils. Came here to stay like it's residential. Put this in your ear, boy, so essential. Any casualties, wherever it's accident, it's been a hard as concrete, better check my dental, how fast, better send for backup. Flow hotter than some active magma. Get it thinking that you attacker. Take shots, you gon' fire backwards. Head drive, now your tires fractured. That's a metaphor. Knew that it come like I was here before. I knew she would, I've been here before. Ay, another metaphor. So good, she gotta praise the Lord. Oh, grape, what you raising for? Get the blueprints out, got them tracing more. Lane, what you chasing for? Race to the finish, what you pacing for? Go against hop, you gon' face the morgue. Yeah, boy, you gon' face the morgue. End all rappers like my daily chores. No battle scars, no scabs or sores. Little boy, I don't think you bred for war. When my line just popping, op just pop out socket. Blop is topping, drop him in the faucet. Farrah faucet, spitting white, the flow is dope. Highest pope, I'm Cody Coda, home alone, Macaulay Culkin. When I say I'm home alone, that means a boy at the top of this. Young hoppy hottest ish. In front of flow, spitting fire, burn my esophagus. I need a trapping fist so I can pop the piss of tunnel vision. Watch him snaking hits. I'm hot as triple six. I spit the slickest. It's like I need silk, a laxative, additive, kid bound, ripper, adjective. You know what I'm saying?
J-Hop, welcome to Chicago, man.
Insane.
On his own edits. J-Hop in the building.
Happy edition.
Mid-best, Midwest in the building. Thank you so much for being here, man.
Appreciate
we're
going
to kick the commercial.
Sure.
Appreciate you,
yes,
man.
Sir,
yo,
yes, sir.
Fire.
Thank you.
Tarmai David, it does not stop.
Never.
So that was amazing. J-Hop burnt the building down. We had to reconstruct. We had to rebuild it like after Mrs. O'Leary's cow, and reconstruct
had to
a
dab
new
my, WGN. My forehead a little.
Exactly, it got
a little
damp.
Sweat.
Yeah, yes. It got damp in here. But we have a new guest in the mini mart in the corner store. Someone who we will have back for a full on sit down. This is a woman who is a multi hyphenate Renaissance woman. An actor, a filmmaker, a writer, an educator, a poet, someone who is, one of the finest in the city. The accolades are many, but, you know, first and foremost, just for this reason, she has a film that is premiering at the Chicago International Film Festival called Olympia. She is the writer and the star of that film in the mini mart, Mackenzie Chin. Welcome to the corner store.
Thank you so much. Yo, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. Now we've snacked you up. We've given you some Welch's fruit snacks, and we've offered you some stolen spirits.
Yes,
and you're good.
I'm good. I'm so ready.
Okay, cool.
So here.
Well, so first of all, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So we have a little bit of time, but this is one of the most exciting things I think happening in the city. Your film, your first film, is in the world. You just got back from L.A.
Yes, we just had our world premiere at the L.A. Film Festival, which was remarkable. I mean, I think when I was sitting down writing this, I just wanted to get the story out and to be able to share it to that magnitude on that kind of platform was more than I think I ever hoped. And now we get to have our hometown premiere. We get to bring it home. And it's such a Chicago-centric film. And so we're just really excited to be able to share it with our people and our tribe.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
So not to give away but what is the film about?
So it's about what it means to become an adult in the world that we live in today. I think for my generation, it's really, really different from what it meant for Generation X and certainly for baby boomers, right? Where you have this kind of more or less a map, right? Like a lot of people got married, had children, got a career that they were going to have for 20, 30, 40 years, got property, right? And all of these big responsibilities seem to confer adulthood upon people, right? My generation, everything changed, right? We don't get married or have kids or buy property at the same rate that previous generations did, right? So if we don't have these markers, then what does it actually mean? And I have found that for a lot of people, a lot of my peers, we've had to define what that means for ourselves. So in Olympia, we have a young woman who's on the cusp of turning 30, and her life is in the middle of a lot of big changes, right? Her mom is sick in the hospital. Her best friend just gets her first kind of grown-up job with a salary that takes her to New York. And then her boyfriend's job announces that it's moving to California. He asks her to go with him. And so she's at this kind of turning point where she has to decide if she's going to change with the world around her or get left behind. Mm. Yep.
Right.
This is easy stuff.
Yeah. I definitely identify with, you know, some of those things. So,
well, I wonder if that's part of the purpose of the film. I mean, I guess when you imagine the audience for this film, you know, I've seen bits of it and it's brilliant and I'm excited to see it at the Chicago International Film Festival, and we'll talk about those dates in a minute and when the city can see it. But who do you imagine the audience to be when you sit down and compose a film like this?
Yeah, I think, again, folks in my generations, right? Like, everybody likes to say millennials, right? To me, that's not a bad word. I take a lot of pride in that. That part of my identity. And I think people who are like approaching that time in their lives themselves, right? People in their mid to late 20s, people in their early 30s who are at this time where they're like, oh, geez, I feel like I should have something to show for all this life I've lived, and are still kind of at sea about what that might be. And I think there's this false pressure that we feel to kind of be exceptional arbitrarily, right? Like, we have all these lists that come out every year, like 30 people under 30 who are like making moves and changing. Right. The game, and it's just all this pressure to be exceptional, where I think that pressure is really artificial, right? Like, we all are in our own lanes and achieving and living and having impacts on the world around us, the people around us, at our own pace, and I think that counts, right? So I think I really just wanted to explore what it meant to define purpose individually. Yeah.
Well, of course, you were just on one of those lists. You were just on in New City's top 50, making an impact in the film industry in Chicago.
Right, but that's taken time, right? Like, this is my 10th year being in Chicago, and I feel like this is my adopted city. It's the city I've been an adult in for the longest time, and so that's very dear to my heart. But, like, I've been out here, like, working, you know. I went to grad school. I've been out here working professionally for 7 years and feeling very fulfilled in that, but also at times feeling like, okay, well, what do I have to show? How soon do I actually have to kind of like deliver something for all this work that I've put in? And I think that pressure is, I think that pressure is really silly, right? And once I freed myself from that, I was able to like really make work that meant a lot to me and I think is resonating with other folks.
How closely do you draw from your own life when you know in this?
Yeah, very closely. I mean, it's not, everybody asks me, is this your real life?
Yeah, right.
And sure, it's not. It's definitely, you know, not autobiographical, but I definitely draw from my own experiences, right? And I feel like the main character, Olympia, is kind of a composite of myself and other people in my immediate life, right? Like, we talk, we commiserate about what is hard about living in the world we live in today. You know, like, so many people finish grad school, and they have all of this, you know, knowledge and all of this debt, right? But we get, you know, offer jobs at like $13 an hour. Meanwhile, an apartment costs $1,000. I mean, like, the math just doesn't work out, right? So we share these stories, and to me, I was like, okay, I'm clearly not alone in my experience, right? So these characters in this world of Olympia are very much sketches and composites of real experiences that I've lived and that my peers have lived.
And, of course, folks are going to have the opportunity to see Olympia in Chicago at the Chicago International Film Festival. Mm-hmm. What are the dates and when and where can people see it?
We have three screenings that are part
of Chicago International Festival. Which is big for that festival. That's a lot of screenings.
We're very pleased. Our first screening is on Monday, October 15th at 5:30 p.m. If you're still getting off of work at that time, don't worry. We got you with another screening on
Sneaking a beverage, maybe,
Tuesday.
Even, to that screening.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It's happy hour, then.
I won't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Tuesday, October 16th at 8:30 p.m. That'll be a really lovely turn up because we'll have a lot of cast and crew at that screening. And then one more lovely matinee on Friday, October 19th at 1 p.m. So three chances to see it as part of the festival. Hopefully we'll have other opportunities down the road, but those will be the three big ones, and all of the screenings will be at AMC River East, right downtown.
And where can we find you, right?
Yeah.
I am all over the interwebs. I'm on Twitter at Mackenzie Chin. Chin, just like it sounds, with two N's. I'm on Instagram at Mackenzie Emily. Yeah, that's where you can find me. And I have my website, MackenzieChin.com.
Right. You do a lot of things in the city. You do a lot of things in the world. I guess, how was the response in L.A. for the film?
Oh, it was remarkable. It's you know, it's so funny. Like, we did not, this is a truly indie film. Like, we did not have a huge budget for this film. But we had a lot of really, really dedicated people with a lot of vision and a lot of heart, right? And I think the response in LA really reflected all of that heart. So even, you know, even though, you know, we weren't working with, like, you know, millions of dollars, like these big, big budget studio films, I think people really responded to how authentic the story felt and how personal and sincere it was, and how many people are experiencing the exact same thing, right? Approaching this kind of turning point in their lives and really having to figure out, who am I and how do I want to move forward from this moment in my life?
Yeah, well, I'm excited for the city to see it.
Yeah,
Chicago, go see Olympia. It's at the Chicago International Film Festival very soon. Go see it. Mackenzie, thank you for being
here. Thank you.
Tara Mahadevan.
What's up, Kevin?
So, Tara, so this is what it is. All right. So
this is what it is.
This is a this is a live version of a podcast we've been doing now for almost a year.
Yes. Our year anniversary is in November.
In November. The podcast is called The Corner Store. It is a place where my dear friend, the hip-hop journalist, Tara Mahadevan, and I, Kevin Koval,
the poet, the author, the educator, the community builder.
A person in Chicagoan.
Yes.
Multi-hyphenate
artist.
Where we interview artists, creatives,
yes,
people of note.
Artists interviewing artists.
In I would say, a new generation in Chicago.
But it's also connecting the old generation with the new generation and showing that fluid thread, and, you know, just,
yeah, that things build together on each other. I think you know, Tara and I both, and you know, these are folks, this is for folks who might not know of the podcast and might not know of the work that Tara and I do, but I think that we really believe in the integrity of the cultural space, and I think that both Tara and I, in our work in the world, we put on for a lot of other artists, and we believe that, you know, the people that we're talking with, the people that we will talk with in the future that we've had on the podcast, are some of the people who are influencing the city, who are influencing the planet, and are changing the world.
I mean, we talk with older heads, you know, about history, but we talk about newer heads, about things that are going to become history. So, you know,
these are facts.
Yes.
And I think, and you know, I wonder how you feel. I've known, and I felt this way in the city of Chicago for a long time. We have been plagued by this idea that we have not put on for our own enough. And part of what happens then in the cultural space is that we lose some of the brightest of a generation to the industries of the coasts. And I think part of what you and I believe in is that we can build a different kind of city here and, you know, make it enticing enough for creatives to stay in the city of Chicago in order to make this place a better city for all people.
Yeah, I think it's also, you know, like, people do go to the coast, I feel like they're realizing they don't have to, you know? I mean, whether that's how even we've consumed and make music and how that's changed, and you don't have to be in New York or LA, you don't have to have a label, you don't have to, you know? Like,
yeah,
this is, the landscape is different, and also I feel like Chicago's becoming like the Midwest hub. Like,
well, and
I mean, evidenced by J-Hop, who has
just
moved here.
You know? Yeah, true.
Yeah.
And also, I think, and you know, I think that there is a growing cultural industry here in many ways. I mean,
yeah,
I think, like, you know, Mackenzie, I think, is part of a growing film industry. I think that, you know, we will have a growing television industry here.
And that's what the summit was all about, you know?
Right. Like, and yeah, talk a little. So Tara literally just got out of a month-long music summit at the Apple Store in Chicago on Michigan Avenue. It was the first ever Chicago Music Summit at the, you know, Today at Apple programming on Michigan Avenue. Talk a little about what you learned, I think, in that month.
I mean, the whole purpose of it was to further, you know, create community, which, you know, Chicago's already good at, but also help build the infrastructure, the business infrastructure in Chicago. And you know, like you said, people go to the coast to, you know, start their career or build on their career, but You know, we have our own DIY community here.
And you see what happens when people go to the coast. You see what happens when people go to New York and LA. But yeah, but also, but people get wild on the coast. People get disconnected from, I think, the integrity of the aesthetic in Chicago, you know. And, I've noticed just, you know, being involved, I've personally been involved in Chicago's hip hop scene, you know, for over 2 decades. And I've seen people move to the coast and get very disconnected from where they came from in a way that I think has their art gets lost, I think, then in that process. And we see that, I mean, there's no shots in anybody,
right?
But I think that there is an integrity,
authenticity,
and an authenticity of staying and grinding here. Chicago, I think, is the best city in the world to make art in, you know. And I think for a lot of reasons,
right? I mean, I'm not from here, and people have asked me why I do what I do, and it's not even, I mean, it's for Chicago, of course, but it's also for the Midwest as a whole to build bridges between cities, to, you know, put on, like, if we strengthen Chicago, it's only going to strengthen the rest of the Midwest and my crib, you know, St. Louis and Milwaukee, Detroit, you know, Minneapolis, like all the cities that have produced great, you know, rappers that, you know, are still producing great rappers or musicians or creatives or what have you.
Well, I think it's part of the reason why we're, you know, such close comrades and associates, is that we believe in working people. We believe in the integrity of the Rust Belt reel. We believe
you got those matching hustles, you feel me?
Yeah, for real. And I think that's something that the Midwest shares. And so I think part of what we want to do with the Corner Store, our long form, hour long podcast, and hopefully what we want to do increasingly, even in this space with the Mini Mart, is put on for cities in and around the region and creatives in those cities who are making culture new, making the city space fresh, and I think are doing, you know, work at the vanguard of you know, a cultural renaissance, and you know, are invigorating you know, the cities as a whole, not only culturally, but I would also argue economically, socially, are bringing people back to cities because, you know, there is a renaissance, there's a reawakening, there's a revival in some of the cities that we hold dear in this Midwest region. And I would say, by and large, you know, that renaissance is due to young people and, you know, multi-generational people creating stuff that has never been seen before.
And we had the renaissance probably starting around like 2011, 2012. And I feel like it hit like a really strong peak, and then there was a lull. And now I feel like this is the point where we really got to build, you know, the things we've done, and that's the point of the summit too, is just to further strengthen whatever, all the things that are happening here.
And, you know, I think one of my jobs is, I'm the artistic director at Young Chicago Authors, a youth cultural arts organization in Chicago, and I think part of it is always, you know, giving shine to the next, giving shine to the new, and
that's also a thing we see eye to eye on, because, you know, the rap music I write about is underground, emerging.
Well, one of my favorite things that you do is the under 1K, the under 1K column that you do for DJ Booth, which is about artists who essentially, like, you really give one of the first shots to at a national, international platform.
And it's become harder. I mean, I really staked the beginning of my writing career on writing about rappers that were, you know, I thought were going to be on the come up, and I did that with a lot of artists, and it's harder to write those stories now, so I'm glad that DJ Booth gave me a space to do that.
Well, I think that's integral to the work we believe in, and it's integral to the maintenance of this cultural force, right? We have to continue. Hip hop dictates that we search out for the fresh, you know, that generations will reinvigorate themselves in cycles, and that there's always something next. There's always something new, and it's in part our job as progressives to continue to build spaces where the new has the opportunity to shine and be able to, like, direct some of the light towards that space. And I think that's part of the form that we're trying to build, certainly here.
Word.
So we do have some things coming up, right? So this is we are on the brink of our year anniversary. For those folks who have not tuned in yet, you know, first of all, thank you so much for being in tune with what we're doing this evening. We have now at this point a catalog of incredible artists that you can go and find on the internet. So we have Saba, Mick Jenkins, Jessica Hopper,
Fatima Oscar.
You know, these are luminaries. Scent Rock. I mean, you like the list is endless, and it's genreless.
Yeah.
You know, and
if
we
you make something, we want to talk to you
for real. Yeah. And so you could go on WGNRadio.com, WGN Radio Plus on iTunes, and get familiar with who we've interviewed, and if there are people that you think we should be talking to, either in this format in the mini mart or in long form, hour long conversations on the corner store. You can hit us up on the internets at
shycornerstore@gmail.com, but you can also DM us on Twitter and Instagram, cornerstore_pod.
Right. And you can follow along with what we're doing. And we have a big year anniversary coming up in November. Yeah. We're going to do a pop up.
At Emporium
pop up in Logan Square.
It's gonna be fire.
It's really gonna be wild. Yeah, we're gonna do a merch drop.
Yeah.
And we're gonna have live interviews. Ooh. We're gonna have DJs. And yeah. We have an incredible Chicago based sponsor in the corner store and on the mini mart, a spirit company called Stolen Spirits. They're gonna be in the building and having many cocktails for the masses as long as you're 21 and up. And it's gonna be an incredible a weekend, and I think a tribute to creatives in the city of Chicago and beyond. And you know, all this information you could find steadily on the social media.
_pod.
Cool. So we're gonna kick it back to the break, to commercial, and we're gonna be back with an incredible MC, Elton Aura. Yes. Tarma Hadavin, we are back. Yes, we stay at it. It doesn't stop. I hope folks got acquainted. You know, I hope folks got familiar a little bit
with
the program. And we have a lot to say. But
we always have a lot to say.
And we also have a lot of people to talk with, you know. And I think
unending.
It doesn't stop. And I want to say, like, I know that each of us have a lot of influences and a lot of reasons why we do this work. But certainly one of the reasons why we're here is because Rick Kogan got us here. Rick Kogan got us to WGN Radio. And one of the reasons why I know Rick Kogan is because of Studs Terkel. And the list does not stop.
But also, shout out Boss Man Todd.
Yeah, Todd Manley. Yeah. You know, building, giving us that look.
Woo.
We're grateful to be here. Also, you know, I want to shout out our super producer. DJ Cashera in the building.
She just dropped a mix.
I know, Cashera. So look, I want a few things about DJ Cashera. DJ Cashera is one of the hardest working people in show business. DJ Cashera is one of the illest DJs on planet Earth. And you know why?
And she has a great hairstyle. And she got a fly.
Great
car,
whip. Right?
Yes.
Right?
She got a little cat. I forgot the cat's name.
Also, like, a fashion icon.
What's the cat's name?
Oh, I don't know about icon. Whoa there.
I mean, we're going to get there. But,
I mean, she flees.
True indeed. DJ Cashera just put out a fire mix. DJ Cashera, where can the people find this mix?
Yes. So it is called the Cuffing Season Mix, because cuffing season
is upon us
right now.
Yes. Get cuffed.
Yeah, you know, we out here.
Too old for
it's
that.
Available on soundcloud.com/DJ Cashera. mixcloud.com/DJ Cashera and djcashera.com.
So if you haven't figured out yet,
DJ Cashera is
everything is at DJ Cashera.
Plus she got a money sign in her hair right now, so you know it's lit.
Right, because you spell that cash with the money sign.
Woo!
Always.
So look, it does not stop. Our final guest in the mini mart this evening is an incredibly talented rapper. I mean, this is someone who, you know, fuses lyric and melody in profound ways. The debut EP released August 10th is called Elevated. In the mini mart this evening, we have Elton. Welcome, man. Thank you for being here, bro.
Thank you, man.
Yeah,
I'm glad to be here. I'm honored, honestly, for real.
We are honored. And
honor is all ours.
This is an opportunity for Tara and I to stand a little bit. We are fans of this record. We are fans of the work that you do. Before we talk about the record, you know, let's just break it down. Like, where do you come from?
I come from the Valley. I come from the Fox Valley.
This is a talented valley.
Yeah. Wait, what's that, like, area called with, like...
It's pretty much, like, a bunch of different towns within like a district, right?
Right.
So it's like,
but this is out west.
West. It's probably about an hour from here.
It's like west. Aurora.
Talking Aurora.
Right. Like Aurora, Naperville, Yorkville. Like I'm from a small place called Montgomery, mm-hmm. and I was like, you know, junior high, high school time there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Okay. And what goes on in the valley?
Not much. It's pretty boring. You know what I'm saying? People have, you know, their stigmas about even Chicago and, you know, a lot of the hardships and, you know, things that go on here with how to survive and, you know, make it. But in a suburb, there's a whole different stigma. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's no real creative outlets. You know, as much as you might want as somebody that's like doing some sort of art or music.
So how does a young man who is clearly incredibly talented and creative in multiple facets, like how does one get involved in the creative space?
Honestly, I had to find my tribe. I had to kind of strip the fat of some people that weren't necessarily in the same mindset as where I was. I was just trying to like find something and work hard at it and, you know, get out of where I was, because I felt like if you're there for a certain amount of time, you're going to stay there. And I knew I didn't want to stay there, and I kind of found people who really wanted to make moves.
Did that take some time, finding your tribe?
I didn't find them. I found some people in high school, you know, it was a few of us, and then I really didn't find them till after high school. Yeah, to like, we all went to the same like community college, which is literally the college in the area, which is just like high school. You go in, it's like the five high schools, and once you graduate from there, you go to that college. And I met them there. And some of them I went to high school with. I didn't really rock with them in the time, but once we like really got to know each other, we found each other, and it was over from there.
Well, let's back it up. So how did you start getting involved in music?
Pretty much, I knew I loved music at like the age of like 7 or 8. I went to California. My grandfather lived out there. I watched The Temptations for the first time. It was a movie, the movie The Temptations, you know.
Yeah, not the group.
Not the group, but it's about the group, true, you know, right. The Motown, yeah. You know, very successful group. And it really just put me on to what, you know, music was like, camaraderie was like with people who were like-minded. And, you know, I knew I wanted to do music from there.
Yeah. Wow. So early on.
Yeah. I still like did sports and like a lot of stuff happened in between.
What sports?
I played basketball. I played soccer growing up, but basketball.
So we got a question for you.
Okay.
Are you nice?
I'm nice. And I know you're nice. I heard you're nice. I
mean, here's my idea.
Okay. I heard Kevin is nice.
Listen.
We should have a basketball tournament with all of the podcast alums who
claim
have
to
ever
be nice.
Played basketball before.
We, at this point, we have a lot.
So okay, we're going to have the gallery show and the basketball tournament. Listen,
if you ask around the Chicago scene,
yeah,
they know.
They know. Okay. And I've heard that to be verified. So that's what's up. Now, from 7 to community college, what is the process of beginning to delve into the creative arts? Like, are you beginning to rap? Are you beginning to, you know, tinker on a keyboard? Like, how do you get involved?
At that point, I wasn't exercising it as much. I would watch videos, and I was very obsessed with like Michael Jackson, as like a lot of young kids are.
Yeah.
Once it got to high school, an older like brother figure of mine, his name is Drew. He favored like me and my homie Nemo, who also makes music, also from the Valley. He goes crazy. And we started a group, and he was like the Diddy of us, and he was like, okay, I'm going to take y'all to my house. We're going to write some songs. This is the concept. And y'all going to put this together. And this is what it's going to be. And we were like high school. I was a freshman. Nemo's 2 years older than me. So he was a junior. And we just working. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really know what it was going to be. But we just were coming up with concepts, coming up with hooks and verses. And that's how we kind of got our starts.
And where this studio is where?
Man, he lived in Chicago. We lived in the burbs. He lived in Chicago. He would come to the burbs, pick us up.
Wow, he was really invested.
He would pick us up. He would drive us back to his crib. and we would just work, you know, and we would just, you know, that's how I got my bearings into what it was like to really be, you know, conceptualize songs, you know. And he was like, okay, once we had like 3 or 4 songs that we liked, he was like, okay, Valentine's Day is coming up. You go to the school. I'm going to give you this packaging, these CDs. Give them to all the girls.
And how did he know so much?
He is the Diddy. He was the Diddy.
That's amazing. And he really, I have to give Drew the credit. Shout out, Drew. I hope you're listening. He put us on in that young age. And from there, yeah, I had the mindset.
Now, what was your relationship with Chicago like at that time, growing up in the Valley, about an hour away? What was, you know, how often... Even as you started to come, what did you think of the city? What did you know of the city? What was your experience prior to the city, both in terms of just being here, but also out of curiosity, just any relationship to the music scene here, too?
Early on, probably my like freshman year and all that, it was just my origin. I felt like it was where my grandmother lived, is where my parents grew up. I was born here, so it was like it's my origin. But I found myself in the Valley. That's why I have to claim that. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't have much of a relationship. It was like my early, early childhood. I didn't know myself at that time. My grandmother was, you know, she was caretaking me in those first early years. And then, you know, me and my parents moved and I had no relationship. But once I was about 17, 18, I was in a band in the Burbs called The Art of Cool. And Felix was in that band with me.
Yeah. Also from the Valley.
Also from the Valley. Corner Store. He's also done, you know, some interviews. And my homie Blake Davis was also in that band amongst some others. And we were like doing some stuff out in the Burbs. We started doing some stuff in Reggie's. You know, we were like kind of a fusion.
I like that Battle of the Bands, right?
We were in a Battle of the Bands. Right. It was like a fusion jazz and rock and classical kind of all mixed together. And we were like, once we kept coming out here, we were like, man, Chicago is where it's at. And honestly, like, we saw what Chance was doing. And that's when Chance, I mean, he had just
what
dropped
year?
10 Day.
Okay.
He had just dropped 10 Day.
2012.
Yeah. I just graduated in 2012.
Okay. From
Oswego East High School.
That's right. Okay.
You wouldn't know. Yeah. I don't know. People don't know.
Yeah, people.
Did you feel like a kinship with Chicago immediately or anything?
I just knew what my ear liked. I knew what I liked to hear. And so I was just attracted to that. And one of my homies, his name's Will, he showed me Chance. Like, you know, people didn't necessarily know out in the Burbs, we're an hour away, you know. But once he showed me, I was like, okay, this is cool. But then Chance came to my high school. I was already graduated, but I went because I had heard 10 Day. And I was like, okay, this is dope. And I went, you know. But once we had kept doing those shows at Reggie's, we were like, man, this is where we need to be. So a few of us from the band, me, Blake, Felix, my homie Elaine, and Ryan, we came out to the city and moved to Hyde Park, 53rd. We moved to 53rd. We didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. We were just like, this is where we need to be. And that's kind of where, you know, we got a hint of the culture that was out here.
Well, and so what year did you move to Hyde Park?
2013.
Okay, so that's a significant time.
Yeah.
And what did you all begin to get into then in that era? That's the moment, right? I mean, we talk about this a lot. Mm-hmm. That's the moment where that is the, you know, where you're into the gold rush of all the labels coming to Chicago. You have national, international interest in what's happening in the scene. You're at that point like a 19, 20 year old
young,
beginning to make music.
Yeah.
What is that scene like for you at the kind of infancy of your musical career?
We had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. You're gonna get one with him after the news. To be honest, we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. We were just trying to pay our rent. We were going to Harold Washington, all of us. Didn't stay too long, but shout out Harold. But we were just trying to do shows and eventually be on a tour, but we didn't know what that looked like. We didn't know, you know, any of that. I feel like once we ended up having to move back to the Burbs, once we moved back for a year and was like, okay, we're going to really have to earn this to go back. We moved back to the Burbs. Me and Felix started working on a tape together. We were in a like a duo production, rapping, singing. And we started doing that, and then we decided to move back, and that's when the change happened. That was about, what is it, 2018? That was about 2015.
Well, we're gonna talk about that return. We're gonna talk about the album Elevated, and and potentially Here Is 16 when we return. We're hearing a little bit of the news. We're with Elton in the Mini Mart. It's very smooth, right?
That's so dope. I wasn't expecting
that. Yeah, we got Elton. Hey. We got Elton in the Mini Mart. We are on WGN Radio, of course, with the super producer, DJ Cashera, putting in that work. We have an incredible MC, a singer, a songwriter, a rapper. Elton is in the building. The project you put out in, you know, just a few months ago is still brand new. Your debut EP is called Elevated. You know, first and foremost, let's just talk, where can people find, stream, download, listen to this record?
On all the major streaming sites, Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal. Those are, yeah, all the places. I didn't put it on SoundCloud. We don't have to go into that right now.
No, that's fair. Fine. Yeah, that's fair. But people could find it. It's very findable.
Also,
yeah.
Social media handles?
Yeah, yeah. What is the
social media? Instagram, that's where I'm at the most part. I like how
Instagram. It for the gram.
Yeah, okay. Do it for the gram.
But we do it for Twitter, too, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, no, Twitter is
Twitter's
legit.
Low-key fire.
I'm trying to find the voice, you know what I mean?
You gotta find the voice.
Yeah.
I don't tweet much, but my Instagram is elton.aura, A-U-R-A, and my Instagram is mc__EL.
Right.
MC, the letters M and C.
MC.
Yes.
L.
Right.
Yes.
You dropped the aura from your name recently.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that or do you not want to talk about that?
We can talk about that.
Just out of curiosity, why did you drop
it? I'm going to be honest.
Please do.
I dropped it because I felt like at a certain point, I felt like I could go by Elton, period. Like, I'm exactly. Elton.
Yeah. Facts. True.
You know? And I didn't feel like I needed anything else to define me.
Is that the government?
That's my government. I'm named after my dad. Like, both our names are Elton. I'm Elton.
Strong.
Like, that's what I'm going by. I used to go by EJ. Like, I used to, like, not like it when I was young.
No, own it. It's yours.
Elton. I'm Elton.
That's what your pops and your mama named you.
Yep, they named me that.
I have another question. Yes. What are you wearing around your neck? Because it's glinting off the red light, and it's, like, catching my eye.
Is it?
Yeah. Hey. I just want to know what it is.
I'm not sure what this is. This is a stone that a lady friend got me.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't know what kind of stone it is?
I don't think it's actually like a stone. Like,
Tara, when the lady friend gives you a stone, you do not question the stone. You rock the stone.
You rock the stone.
Okay.
I guess I have a similar thing with my bracelet, but not from a lady friend, but I understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it?
No.
Okay. all right. So can we get into Elevated?
Yeah.
This EP, so first of all, I mean, a lot of hands on this record. Close relationship with Classic Studios, worked with the Burns Twins on this record and a lot of other local musicians.
Not on Elevated. The thing is, I worked with Burns Twins, that was Side Eye and Sun Shower.
Previous-ish.
Within a year, but yeah.
Right, okay. So let's talk. Elevated is, how would you, one of the things that I love about what you do is that we were talking to J-Hop earlier about the significance of Midwest hip-hop and the blurring of some of these lines and genres. You rhyme incredibly well, and it is also like on the edge of singing, and you also sing, and I also think you sing incredibly well. And so I don't know what genre, I mean, it's clearly hip-hop music that you're making, but you know, Elevated is a sound that is indicative of a Midwest fascination with melody, and is also incredibly contemporary and of the now.
Yeah,
what can people expect on this record? You know, when they download, when they stream it.
Honestly, it's a lot of soul involved. I feel like I wanted a certain vibe when I was making it, and you know, people take years sometimes to make like 15 song albums. I took some years to make a 6 song project, and I'm okay with saying it because I made it with my friends, and it was a journey to make it, because we would make a song and I'd be like, okay, I know from where I was mentally when I wrote this, then I'm going to keep this. And then my friends that produced it, which was, you know, Felix, Luke Titus, and Brian Sanborn.
Wow.
They were going on tour and they would be out.
Right. Because they're making music with everybody.
Oh, they're crazy.
Arguably Felix, producer of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Luke is opening for Raven internationally. Drummer. Right.
Yeah. Of course.
Brian is playing for everybody.
And Brian's genius, and they're all genius. And these are literally like the people that, when music is not even in the conversation, the people that I'm talking to, you know, so every day,
they're your homies.
That's what it is. And so I knew that I wanted my project to be with them because these are the people that I connect to on a different level. Like, I'll go to Luke's house after the fact, you know what I'm saying? It's not even about the music. It's about who he is as a person and who I am as a person. And that's what we focus on. You know what I'm saying? So when it gets to the point where we're making music, it sound, you know, that's what it is. Thankful Grateful was like in May of last year, you know, before the Raven stuff and before the No Name stuff. But it was like we made it, and it was just me and him in his room making that song.
Whole nother level.
It really is.
Feel me?
Yeah. And so that's what I really wanted it to be, just me making something with my friends. And the next one might be something different, but that's what Elevated was.
And we'll talk about what's next, but I think that there is a idea of artists that, you know, we want to dispel this myth that, you know, the artist works isolated, the artist works alone. The artist is someone who is tortured in a room unto themselves. And so, you know, community is important for you, right? I mean, you have a brotherhood. You have a community of artists that you lean into, that you work with. What is the importance of that community for you? And you know, why do you seek out, you know, such a space?
I just know that at the end of the day, we all need each other, period. And I'm at the point now where I feel like I could produce a project myself. Like, and all my homies could produce projects themselves. But when you do something collectively and you're building on other perspectives, even if you all should be on the same page, but if it's from, you know, a collective perspective, I feel like a lot of people will end up relating. Because even if they don't like one of my lyrics, they might like that one lick that Brian hits at this certain part in this song, or that one small melody that Felix brings, or that, you know, that one snare hit that, or hi-hat that Luke does, you know? And we got to know that it's bigger than ourselves. And music is that for me. I know that it's bigger than myself. You know what I'm saying? And it's not about me, you know? It's about relaying a certain message. And that's just how it came about within these certain years in my life. And that's just what it is.
That's interesting, because I feel like a few years ago, you know, being an autonomous musician was like really important and something everyone talked about. Like, you can produce, you can engineer, you can, you know, rap or sing or do it all. But now I think what's most interesting, what Chicago is doing well and like almost the best, is, you know, that spirit of collaboration, that spirit of friendship, that community coming together, leaning on each other.
I feel like it's definitely important for you to do things on your own.
Of course.
You know? You gotta
Because you gotta
know
have
that.
Your back.
Yeah, you but, gotta know that. But when you do find a community,
yeah,
that's
it's like the, leaning into that.
Yeah. That's the more important thing. You gotta find it in yourself, so once you do reach your community, mm-hmm. you have something to bring to the table. And I feel like everybody couldn't do that. I feel like I knew myself personally, and Felix and Brian and Luke all knew themselves personally to the point where once we all got in a room, we could bring something to the table that was, you know, bigger than ourselves, you know, so bring that the, was important for Elevated.
Yeah. Bring the best out of each other.
Yeah. And so folks have an opportunity to see you in Chicago at times. Mm-hmm. What's coming up for you where people can, first of all, everyone should stream and download this record. I mean, Elevated is in, you know, my top 5-10 projects of the year, my top 5 projects in Chicago. I mean, it is one of the best records of the year. So people should do that. People should find you and, you know, stalk you relentlessly on the internets, but also
stalk me.
Yes, I mean, you know, respectfully.
I'm not recommending
respectfully,
that.
Respectfully,
you
respectfully,
can.
No, respectfully.
Is there a respectful stalking?
I think so. I think there's like a there's a respectful distance.
Nobody talks about the respectful stalkers.
The respectful stalk.
Listen,
I'm thinking about the stalker that broke into Rihanna's house.
That's not a respectful stalker. You know, no. I'm talking about the stalkers who like will show up.
Oh, you're talking about fans.
Yeah, I'm talking about fans. Like, yeah, so you have a lot of fans, but where people could see you soon, live and direct, in the city of Chicago? Where?
I'm gonna just say this: in a couple weeks, I would say three things. In a couple
said,
weeks,
I'm gonna just it, say one
elevated.
Thing.
Yeah,
but wait, ten got, things.
Yeah.
In a couple things.
I'm out.
First thing, no. First thing, I work hard, bro. We all work hard.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of everything. First thing, me and Felix are going to go and dip off soon and do a show in like DC soon. That's cool. I can say that. Second thing I'm going to say, I'm going to perform at the Apple Store.
Oh, nice.
I feel like Kevin put me on. Like Kevin's been putting me on.
Listen,
we don't have a lot of time to talk about it tonight.
I'm a fan. Year anniversary, October 20th.
Oh, you're performing at the thing.
At the Secret Walls.
At
the Secret Walls battle.
I didn't know there were performances.
Today at Apple. Yeah, we have performances interlaced throughout the program. Elton's a part of that.
Nice.
Kevin been showing love to me before I even knew who Kevin was.
I'm a fan, G. I'm a stalker of Elton.
And he's a respectful stalker.
I'm a respectful stalker.
Do we need to get a restraining order?
No.
I'm a fan.
Drank too much Stolen, huh?
Hey. Never.
Shout out Stolen. I had a release party on August 10th when I released the project, and Stolen low key sponsored.
Yes.
And
yes.
They
were smart to do so.
They are awesome.
They know.
And after that, there are some things coming up that I can't even talk about right now, but you will know very, very soon.
You will know. Elton, where can people find you one more time on the internets?
Elton.Aura on Instagram. That's where I put up a lot of my stuff, but it will carry over to Facebook, where you can find Elton Aura, and then you can go to Twitter, where it's MC_LEL, and a lot of stuff will be put up on all of these social medias and Apple Music. Elevated is up there, also Side Eye and Sunshower with the Burns Twins, and everything is dope. Shout out Betos as well.
The debut EP is called Elevated. Stream it, download it. Elton, thank you for being in the Mini Mart.
Thank you.
WGN thank Radio.
I'm glad to be here.
Yes, yes. Tara, can I tell you what we didn't do?
What did we not do?
We didn't get Elton to kick a 16.
Woo!
But
we're gonna have to save that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the corner store, so let's delineate a little bit, right? So,
yes.
First of all, this is the first time we've been live on air in this capacity.
Yes.
We're calling this the Mini Mart because it's like little bits, it's little segments.
Little snacks, little tastes.
Little bits,
you know,
little doodads.
It's the mini version of the corner store.
Yeah, exactly. And the corner store is a podcast we do again on WGN Radio.
Yes, long format. Interviews with artists, influencers, creative folks of all genre and variety and medium and... You know, I don't know everything.
Yeah, no, but I mean, this is a thing we do weekly.
Yeah,
we
Tuesdays
every Tuesday we drop a new episode. It
really
features,
early too, 6 a.m.
Yeah, I mean,
we're trying to
get you on your commute. We're trying to get you at a lunch break. We're trying to get you on your train ride. have something to listen to.
Right. And we're trips.
Right, exactly.
Kicking it with friends.
You know, we're trying to put you on to what is happening in Chicago culture and beyond.
Yes.
And this live version, I think, is in some ways indicative of the longer form of what we're trying to do.
But also more timely and of the moment, and things you should check out ASAP.
Facts. Yeah. And so, you know, this was a great episode. It's a great evening.
Wow, nice introduction to live radio here at WGN.
It's fun. Yeah. You know, it's fun. We like the format, I think.
Yeah,
right?
It's quicker. It's...
So hopefully we're going to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to take over the takeover.
Shout out big boss man Todd.
Yeah, Todd Manley, our sponsor, yeah. Stolen Spirits, WGN Radio. You already know what it is.
Super DJ Cashera.
But Tara, real quick, for the people who might not be aware, you know, I've been a fan of yours for a few years now and knew your work before I knew you.
No, you didn't.
No, I knew your work before I knew you. I read
that
you.
One time I came up to you, the first time I said hi to you at Wordplay, it was like February 2016. You did not read me before.
Listen, I don't have a memory is part of the issue, but
I do.
But what I'll say is this: is that you've been doing this work for a long time, published in, you know, national, international hip hop cultural spaces. Fader, Complex, where else are can the people find your byline?
Pigeons, Village Voice, RIP.
Yeah. Chicago Tribune now. Yeah, you write for the what are you doing for the Tribune right now? Because you have a regular
I have
joint.
Like a rotating column. I've interviewed Felix, actually.
Right.
The first interview I did with DJ Spin from Tech Life, and the most recent one was Queen Key.
So Tara is you know, again, Tara is one of the premier hip hop journalists on planet Earth. Putting on for people, these are facts, people putting on for people in the city, putting on for people in the region, and I think introducing a populace to the vanguard and cutting edge of music, of culture, you know, from the perspective of a fan and from the perspective of somebody who knows the music and knows the history, the lineage, and the integrity of the culture. You know, I'm a writer, I'm a poet, I'm the artistic director of Young Chicago Authors.
You have a book coming out soon.
I write books. I write a lot of books.
I'm trying to be like you.
No, I appreciate you. I have a chapbook with the homie Langston Alston, who's
brilliant.
Incredible visual artist, muralist, illustrator, someone who engages in the portraitures of our time. We have a chapbook coming out in the next few days called Milwaukee Avenue.
Oh, and on Friday
on Friday Langston is doing a sketch walk at the Apple Store on Michigan Avenue.
And then next Friday
at Volumes Books, which is the longtime supporter of work that we do in the city of Chicago, an independent bookstore, support independent bookstores, support independent ideas.
Shout out Rebecca George. Yes,
exactly, and her sister. And you know, we're putting out a chapbook called Milwaukee Avenue. It is about, it's a long poem, the longest poem I've ever written, inspired by Frank O'Hara's Second Avenue, and it's about Wicker Park and the changing city and the changing community. And it is a preview to a graphic novel that Langston and I are doing about Wicker Park in the 90s. It's a book about the time and the people that I knew when I lived there from 94 to 2001. And it is about the life and the death of an American neighborhood. And for those who know, and you know, if you're Chicago and you know that Wicker Park is one of the first neighborhoods that went through this process of gentrification in a way that
startling.
And cities around the country took note of.
Right.
You know, there were mayoral conferences of you know, different people, developers, mayors around the country, looking at the example of Wicker Park and learning, for better and worse, about how to revive and regenerate urban space. And so this is what the book is about and what the chapbook is about. And of course, folks could come out. It's on Haymarket Books, which is a local Chicago publisher that is now national and international because of the strength of the writers on that that platform. And you know, this is a space that you know, we're really excited to be on. WGN has had a long impact in telling the stories of Chicagoans and telling the stories of Chicagoans not only to the city but to the rest of the planet. And we're excited about this format, we're excited about this process. Tara, it's always good to be with you, you know.
Me too.
And please check us out on our social internets.
Yeah, cornerstore_pod, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud.
And check out The Corner Store, which is the podcast you could download wherever. And grateful to be here. Tarmaha Davin.
It does not stop.
Yo, it's been a great...
It's been a smooth 2 hours.
It's flown by.
Mm-hmm.
Want to thank all of our incredible guests.
Yes.
We are trying to introduce to the city, for those who don't know, what they should know about culture in the city of Chicago. So please, please, y'all, go out and appreciate the creative innovations of our guests, people who will introduce you to not only in this space but also on our long form podcast called The Corner Store that you could download, stream on iTunes, WGN.com, all
SoundCloud,
over the place.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram, cornerstore_pod.
These are all facts.
Yes.
So thank y'all for listening this evening. We're grateful to you. We're grateful to Stolen Spirits. We're grateful to WGN Radio. We're grateful to our super producer, DJ Cashera.
Max.
We're grateful to Max. The snack tour.
Yes.
The snackstress.
Snack tour,
the
rap corner store. Tour.
Brianna for our making our lovely flyer. For Kevin Collins, for being a person in the world.
Todd
Manley.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Shout out Todd.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
So, yo, rock with us on a weekly basis. You know, download the podcast. Right now, Tara,
Should we drop our personal handle?
Oh, true. Yes, yeah. We should. Yeah.
I'm at MHDVN on Twitter. That sounds confusing, but you know, you can find me. It's in the Corner Store Pod bio.
True. Also on the gram?
Young Noodle Cup. Y-U-N-G.
Y-U-N-G. And then I am at Kevin Coble everywhere. COVAL. Get at us. Please let us know who we should have.
Drop us a line.
Yeah, let us know what you think about this space. Let us know what you think about our work and the Corner Store. And who also we should interview and talk with. Go into that archive, because that archive is rich.
Yeah.
With
Already.
Chicagoans.
It's been a year.
And come out to the year. Come out to the year.